Blessed are you, Lord, our God and Savior, who has kept us alive, sustained us, and brought us to this season, who came to give grace unto all and to loose the debts of man by your incarnation. Loose also our debts and rend asunder the record of our sins, that we may glorify your nativity. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. I feel like we can make a lot of money if we developed intravenous coffee. You know what I mean? Just straight in. Forget the drinking. You know? This reading today, it's really almost poetry. When you listen to it, creation, light, and God dwelling with his children. That's what we're going to look at today. Creation, light, and God dwelling with his children. And if you know anything about how I like to approach the book of John, you're going to know that I like to go to three different places. So right now we're at the beginning of John. We're also going to spend some time at the end of John. And also some time in...
the middle.
No.
What?
Good try, though. Good guess. One for two. The book of Revelation. Okay, the gospel writer John wrote both books, and he actually wrote it so that they're parallel passages. They're paired. They go together. The first part is a shadow. The second part is a light. And the book of Revelation is the final light. Okay, the greatest light, the fullest of lights. You can think of it as the beginning of that work, the continuing of that work, and the finalization of that work. Okay, so that's how we're going to look at it today. And my kids really want to open Christmas presents, so let's get right into it. First, creation. John 1 says that Jesus was there at the beginning, that he was the cause of all creation, that the Word of God was him, and that when God spoke the world into motion, that it was Jesus that he spoke. He spoke Jesus. Everything that you see around you was made by Jesus. And scientists actually will agree that everything that you see around you, even though it seems like it was just formed, like maybe I was just formed, you know, approximately 30 years ago, approximately 25 years ago. I'm just kidding. But scientists will agree that even though it seems like it was formed then, it's really just a rearranging of molecules and atoms. That everything was made at one time or has always existed, and there's nothing ever new created. There's no new atoms, no new molecules. It's all just being rearranged. And in the church, we have a different word for that. It's not rearranged. It's renewed.
That's right.
Renewed. God is in the process of always making all things renew. New again. Once the Father, through Jesus, made everything, it's been in a process of being remade and remade and remade. And so we look at John at the end of his gospel now, where Jesus reveals himself to the disciples behind closed doors, behind locked doors, and inspired some of his more suspicious disciples by showing his body made new again. His body renewed, remade, being made whole. And so that's the first echo that John gives us of creation. Because if Jesus' body will be renewed, then what's going to happen to the earth? It will also be renewed. Jesus' body is a sign that the work has begun of God remaking all things new again.
That's right. Amen.
That's good news. Jesus took on flesh so that it could be renewed, so that all things could be made new. Third place, Revelation chapter 21. If you have your Bibles, please turn there. If not, I don't have it on the sheet. I'm sorry, you're just going to have to deal. I will be reading it a little bit. Revelation chapter 21. Here John is speaking at the end of the vision that was given to him at the end of his life. So imagine his life as a young man. He saw Jesus. He saw the whole life and ministry of Jesus. And he wrote about it in a gospel. And now at the very end of his life, God gives him a vision saying, this is what's really happening. He reveals the true nature once you pull back reality and see what's really happening. This is the vision. John says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. Verse 2, and I saw the holy city, new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I saw, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more, and neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And then Jesus, who was seated on the throne, said, behold, I am making all things new. In the same way, we had a beginning. We were knit in our mother's wombs. We're made new again at our baptism, and we're always in a constant state of renewal, of being made new. And one day the Word of God, who is given to us as man, as Jesus, will make us new again. Jesus' words, his body, and his testimony give us courage and hope for what eternity holds for us. So that's creation. Let's go to light. This Christmas day, we remember light. We're back in John 1, verse 4. He says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, and he came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. So that's the beginning of John. Let's go to the end of John's gospel. He speaks again of another John who would bear witness. He's talking about himself when he says that Jesus spoke of him and said, if it's my will that he remain until I come in glory, then what is it to you? Jumping to verse 24, this is the disciple who is bearing witness about these things and who has written these things, and we know that his testimony is true. So today's Christmas, we have the light who was born, and John the Baptist bore witness to it at the beginning of his life, and at the end of Jesus' life, the Apostle John bore witness to the light. And now, Revelation, chapter 21, verse 23. He's speaking again of that city that was made new. And he says, and the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. The gates are always open. You see that? The light of light that was given to man at the beginning of the world came into the world. And then he became the life-giving light to the kingdom of heaven. And his radiance is that which lives in us and will carry us throughout all of our lives and into eternity. So now, I want you to think probably of your living room. Because there's an herbaceous plant there. There's a tree. And what's at the top?
Star.
Or an angel. Star. A light.
A rooster.
A light. A rooster. You don't count. Most of us The tradition is we have a light at the top of our tree. And that light is supposed to cut through the darkness in the middle of the night in your living room. And so my prayer is that we may let the light of Christ live in our lives and cut through whatever darkness may come against you. We've all got darkness. We've all got stuff coming against us, and we need the light of the world to live entirely through us so that through his power we may cut through as he cuts through in us. So that was creation, then light, now dwelling with the children of God. Back to John 1, verse 11. Speaking of Jesus, John says, he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of the man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. All right. Christmas trivia time. You guys ready?
Yes.
I know you love this. This is your favorite part. Who was there when people came to the palace asking where Jesus was? Who knew where he was going to be born?
Prophets, the scribes.
Prophets, the scribes. They were priests.
Yeah.
They were priests. They were priests. They were the people whose job it was to enter into the very presence of God. They were the people who were supposed to live there all the time. And guess what? They knew. They knew. They knew where he was. These people who were supposed to be the keepers of the tabernacle. Do you know the word tabernacle itself means to dwell? That's what it means. So when you read this passage in John, you can read it and say, he came to tabernacle among us. You remember back in the Egyptian days when the Israelites came out of Egypt and God said, I will be in your midst and I will tabernacle among you. And what did they call the tent where his presence was? They called it the tabernacle. So what John is saying here is he came in bodily form so that those people who stayed in that building over there, who were supposed to know what tabernacling meant, he would be the tabernacle now. He is the tabernacle now. The priests were supposed to know. They were supposed to know where, and they knew. But who actually came to worship him? It was shepherds. It was foreigners. It was outsiders. John says, his own did not receive him. Now moving to the end of John, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Moving to Revelation, chapter 21, verse 3. John says, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, and neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. For the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And also he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment, and the one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. If you want to know what Christmas is all about, this is it.
That's right.
This is it. Family is nice. Eating is nice. Presents are nice. But this is Christmas.
Amen.
That Jesus was the Word. That he is our light. And even now he's making a place for us that he may dwell within us. He dwells here in this community of believers. He dwells in our family of families, and he dwells in every one of your hearts. Today, when you celebrate, remember that his word is trustworthy and is true. That he's the beginning of our existence and will be our eternal destination. He is the light of our life, that there, in that small gift, in that blessed infant in a cave, born in destitution, in extreme poverty, in the worst of situations, through the faithfulness of Joseph and the obedience of Mary, God came. He made himself their son so that we might be his son. He came to earth so we might live to go to heaven. He pours life into us and into all of creation. And so right now I pray that through this day and through the rest of this season, through the rest of this year and the rest of your lives, that you may see his life pouring into you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages. Amen.
Amen.
Please stand for prayer.